Hello, my name is J. Lewis Mills, for On the Level with J. Lewis Mills. I need you to do me a favor. I need you to lend me something. I need you to lend me your ear, and I need you to lend me your common sense. I need you to come join me. I need to talk to you. You need to talk to me. It's about time that we let it all out. Join me. I want to hear from you. Well, hello. Thank you very much for joining me once again. This is J. Lewis Mills with On the Level with J. Lewis Mills. I hope you all had a great July 4th holiday. It was a good time to get with the family, get with the friends, do a little bit of barbecuing, take a little bit of time off of work, rest, relax, charge the battery. So I hope you all had a great 4th of July. Listen, I would like to, as I do every week, I would like to just get right into it. This week, I am very proud and very honored to have with me Dr. Earl Carter. Dr. Carter has been a international and national evangelist for the Church of God in Christ for over the last 40 years. Just to give you a little background on how I know Dr. Carter, back in the 80s when I was a kid, Dr. Carter came to my grandfather's church and held a revival. And he was so spirited, and the things that he was saying resonated with me so much that years later, even like into the 90s, early 2000s, I was still watching the same videotape of Dr. Carter from when I had seen him the first time in the 80s. Now, let's fast forward to just about a year ago. I, from time to time, will go to YouTube and I will put in Elder Earl Carter and I'll see what comes up. I've been doing that for years. So about a year ago, I put in Dr. Carter's name and a video comes up where it's talking about Dr. Carter is slamming this person and he's talking bad about this person. So I stopped on it and I watched it. And I said, okay, I mean, this is the Church of God in Christ. I get it. You know, I didn't see anything wrong with it. After the video was over, I saw another video from the presiding bishop of the Church of God in Christ, Bishop Charles Blake. And he was apologizing for the words and the sermon that Dr. Carter had given. So I'm going to turn it over now to Dr. Carter. I would like for you, sir, to pick up from there. And first of all, thank you very kindly for being with me. I'm so honored to have you. But my first question to you, sir, is can you, in your own words, explain to myself as well as my listeners exactly what happened?
Well, thank you for having me, and I appreciate it very much. You make me sound a little old. Anyway, I've been at it for a while. Well, the message 2014, I was a guest speaker at our general holy convocation, and I was scheduled to bring the message on that Saturday night, November the 7th, I think that is. Anyway, my message was an indigenous message, dealt with the homosexual, and not only homosexual, but heterosexual sins, as in fornication, adultery, and the whole nine yards. But I made it an imprecatory statement, that is a statement of judgment upon the homosexual community within the church. And I said, if you want to be a woman, I hope God would give you, I wish he would give you the whole package, and that including the monthly. And oh my goodness, it started a bonfire. And that particular night, if you view the video, it looked like the whole house was with me.
Yes.
Because don't forget now, we're dealing with a holiness Pentecostal full gospel church, and we deal with the Christian perspective on homosexuality. And I've been taught ever since I've been in the church, Leviticus 18 and then Romans 1, it's for a man to lay with another man as he would a woman, it was an abomination. An abomination means disgusting, ignominious, nasty, low down, animalistic, however you want to put it. Abomination is ignominious, dishonorable. And then Romans, the first chapter, Paul says anyone who participate in such activity or even agree with such or even support such is worthy of death. And then the last part of that chapter, Romans 1, says that when we support such, we blaspheme the name of Jesus. And so I'm a militant type a preacher, and I have strong conviction. And that particular night, it was, I didn't know it was going to go viral, but it did. And it's, I think the last count, I forgot how many millions of people who have viewed that message. And also, somebody told me, called me up the other day, he was so excited about it. He said the message has reached over 4 million and it's still, and it seems the count is still growing. So
you bring up a pretty good point, Dr. Carter, when you said that it seemed like, you know, the whole house, meaning the whole church, was with you on what you were saying. That's one of the things that I noticed at first, was the, you know, it would have been, to me, it would have been a different situation if the elders in the pulpit, you know, somebody came and tapped you on the shoulder, or if the congregation wouldn't have been behind you as much as they were, if the organist wouldn't have been playing, you know, playing the riffs that they were, as they do in all holiness churches. So anyone that goes to a Pentecostal or a holiness church understands what it means when the organ starts playing. It's about to get real in here, you know. So, my question to you, sir, is: any of the elders that were there, did they suffer any consequences? Did the organist suffer any consequences? Do you know of any of the congregation? And I'm asking this because, again, these are all of the people that were in the building that seemed to be 100% behind you.
Well, you know, there is, let's say, it was like, you know, they were with me until the presiding bishop denounced me, apologized for my imprecatory statement to the homosexual community. And we're going to get pretty deep into this because he wasn't there. And as a matter of fact, the Monday at the airport, flying out, I called him. And him and I had a wonderful conversation. And I thanked him for allowing me to minister that night. He said, oh, my goodness. He said, the saints, they tell me that you really bless the saints and they're going home blessed. And, oh, it's so wonderful. So I thought everything was all right.
This was the Monday after the sermon.
Yeah, the Monday after the sermon. Well, okay. You know, that Sunday was his official day, and I congratulated him for bringing a message, and I thought everything was all right. I just called to thank him for allowing me to minister, and I thought everything was copacetic, as they would say. And so by the time I got home, somebody called me and said, man, Bishop Blake is upset about that statement you made about the bleeding out the butt and all of that. And so I tracked him down. I said, Bishop, I heard you upset about the imprecatory statement. Oh, he didn't know what that meant, so I had to explain it. In other words, I made a statement that really was scathing and insulting to the gay community. Now, yes. Mind you, he was celebratory when we spoke on that Monday. But this time I called him. He said, oh, yeah, we have a problem. We have a problem today. I'm hearing from way, way, way up. And I take that to mean that Barack Obama, who is a gay sympathizer or supporter, and Magic Johnson and his son who wears a dress, and he, you know, he's all the way out there. And they're supposed to be members of West Angeles Church of God in Christ in good standing. And so I told Blake, I said, listen, I love you and I love the church, and whatever I need to do to make it more palatable, and that is to write a retraction or even verbalize it, I'm willing to do it. And he was excited. He said, oh, thank you. Thank you, Elder Carter. Thank you for your attitude and thank you for your humility. I think we can work through this. I said, yes, whatever I have to do. He said, well, don't write anything until I or my public relation people will get back with you the next day. All right?
Okay.
The next day never came as far as him getting back to me. And I think that about that Thursday or Wednesday, he was on the YouTube apologizing from West Angeles, saying mm-hmm. that I was unkind, unchristian, and he really threw me under the bus. And when he threw me under the bus, that sent a subliminal message throughout the Church of God in Christ. So all of those preachers that were standing with me, they abandoned me. It's almost like what Donald Trump said about Kathy Griffin.
When she, yes.
Yeah, when she did what she did. It's the same effect. You know, when the leader denounces you and say that you're unkind and that you didn't represent the Christian attitude and that I should not be, let's say, supported. And what happened is that when that was said, all of those men that you saw cheering me on, just like when Jesus went into Jerusalem, they were, you know, singing his praises, but after a while, they abandoned him, you know? So that's what happened there. And we've been battling ever since.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Dr. Carter. I'm sorry.
No, I'm listening. Yes.
Were you ever told, I mean, I know you just said that you were told from, it was someone higher up. Was it ever revealed to you specifically who had a problem and specifically what they had a problem with, or was it just left as a blank statement, I heard from higher ups? Because I'm thinking the presiding bishop of the Church of God in Christ, from what I understand, there is no higher up than the presiding bishop. So I'm kind of confused on what that means.
Well, what I found out is that he served on Barack Obama's Ecumenical Faith Council. And then, like I said, Magic Johnson being a supporter of the gay community, connected with his son. And I believe that his son was offended. I believe Barack Obama was offended. And I believe that he got caught up into the politics and trying to appease and to please those parties that seem to have a great impact or influence on him. So, you know, he had to throw me under the bus in order to stay in good with people like Magic and President Obama. Now, that's what I believe.
If you had went on ahead and done as you said and written the retraction, do you know what you would have said in there?
Well, you know, in retrospect, I think I would have said that I could have been more, let's say, I could have made it more palatable mm-hmm. by not using the graphic term of bleeding up the butt. And now, in retrospect, I'm glad I did say it, because if I had preached just a regular message about homosexuality, it would not have gone as far as it has.
Yes.
And so I'm glad that imprecatory statement was made. You know, David, a man after God's own heart, in Psalms 55, he said, "I wish that my enemies would go to hell alive." That's imprecatory. And then Psalm 69, he said, "I wish my enemies would go blind." Now, a lot of people think that God is so loving, but that same loving God, he said, "Jacob, I love, but Esau, I hate." And that same loving God burned up Sodom and Gomorrah. That same loving God opened up the earth when Israel rebelled against him in the wilderness and swallowed up 250 leaders. And when the people grumbled against Moses and God, then God killed 14,700. All right? So this God I'm talking about, you know, even in Jesus, God was so bad in the Old Testament until Jesus had to come in the New Testament to give him a better reputation. And one theologian said God was a mean, dirty bully, because he read about how God destroyed, you know, even in the flood. And they say it was about 4 billion people during that time. So, and then Jesus is the Lamb of God, but he's also the Lion of the tribe of Judah. So he has a split personality. He's a lamb, and he's also a lion. If you don't deal with the lamb, you're going to deal with the lion.
The lion.
That's right.
This is On the Level with J. Lewis Mills. 1-888-429-5471. 1-888-429-5471. If you have any questions for Dr. Carter, if you would like to join our conversation, go ahead, give us a call, 888-429-5471. Where does this stand right now, Dr. Carter?
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask, what is your current status with the Church of God in Christ at this present moment?
Well, I've been excommunicated, and, you know, I was told not to. Well, the church was told not to entertain my ministry, and that's going on 3 years that I've been blackballed and redlined, however you want to put it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, after I've been doing this for 46 years, like I said, it was almost like Kathy, although I was not like Kathy Griffin, but, you know, the same punishment, so to speak. But I'm a kind of guy that if I believe something, I'm going to stick with what I believe. I'm not going to give in. And I'm sure they would want me to come and apologize. But I wrote a book, No Apology Necessary. I want to make sure you get a copy of that book. You're talking about controversial. You're going to have something to talk about when you get that book. Anyway, so my status with the Church of God in Christ is that I'm out and glad to be out. I celebrate being out, because the church is no longer what it used to be. It's not what Bishop Mason had in mind. Bishop Mason, he's just like Martin Luther. Martin Luther saw the corruption in the Catholic Church, and he started the Protestant movement, which means protesting Catholicism. So Bishop Mason was in the Baptist Church, and he saw so much corruption, you know, Baptist preachers going with the women in the church, stealing the money, the deacons smoking and drinking and all of that. So Bishop Mason said, I got to become biblical. And so he established his own aphorism, that is his personal conviction and truth, that is laconically sweet, short and sweet. It's stated that he wants to be sanctified. He wants to be Holy Ghost filled. And he went to Azusa Street, and he was baptized in the Spirit, and he started the Church of God in Christ. And the Church of God in Christ has always been the kind of mentoring church that people could come and say, well, there's a difference. It represented the people who are peculiar, and that is to be strange, odd, different, special, unique, and private property. They didn't believe in smoking, drinking, running around, didn't believe in homosexuality, didn't believe in adultery, fornication. I mean, when I got into the church, see, I came off the streets, all right, and I was a bad boy, in and out of jail, and a delinquent. I usually say, bad boy, what you going to do? What you going to do when they come for you?
Yeah.
I've been arrested several times. So when I got into the church, I really had an experience that changed my life, that metamorphosis or that anachronosis with regeneration and then, let's say, restoration after renovation, you know. And I just believe that you ought to be different. You ought to be changed, you know. So, but what we're seeing now in the church, and this man, Charles Blake, you know, he's been accused of having homosexual activities, you know, and his sexuality has been questioned for 50 years. And ironically, I used to defend him because I didn't know it was the truth. But since this has happened, my favorite saying is that it was reported to me, you know, that some things have been going on down through the years. So he's been exposed. And we're supposed to have been going to court, whatever. Of course, Paul said not to take your brother to court, but he took me to court to sue me for $75,000. Try to figure that out. And we never made it to the court to have a trial, but it convoluted everything. I missed one conference, and they said I lost the case by default because they didn't want to go to court because I have too many witnesses, all right? So defamation of character, you have to prove that I'm telling a lie, and that's with malice, knowing that I'm lying and still tell it, you know? That's defamation of character. But I never stopped telling the truth, and I will never stop telling the truth. And like I said, the message went viral, and we just got back from South Africa. The people who received the message in Australia, England, it's everywhere. And I don't
Do you think, Elder Carter, that do you think you would have gotten all of this if you would have used different words? Do you think that the viralness of the video came from just the strength of your words? Do you think it came from the strength of your words where you use them? How do you see it? Like, how do you think this happened?
Well, in retrospect, I'm glad that I made that kind of scathing, expression of the word with great militancy. And I think it was, anthropomorphically expressed the anger of God about how the Church of God in Christ has been infiltrated by the homosexual agenda. And the church is known, like they just, I mean, they're in the AIM convention, and the AIM convention is a homosexual convention. I mean, okay. They walk around with their tight pants and pocketbooks, and one guy in particular is William McCrae. He wears a hat that is androgynous. You know, either way, woman or man can wear it, but it's more feminine than masculine. So, and they feel comfortable. You know why they feel comfortable?
Why is that?
This man said when he apologized to the homosexual community, he said, whatever your sexual orientation, you are welcome to West Angeles and the Church of God in Christ. He just rolled out the red carpet for the homosexual community. Mm-hmm. And when you say whatever your sexual orientation, and I did some research with my serendipitous reading style prone to discover, and I discovered that the Church of Satan, if you look it up, the Church of Satan makes the same statement that whatever your sexual orientation, you are welcome to the Church of Satan. And Charles Blake says the same thing. Now, sexual orientation can be coprophilia, and that means abnormal interest and pleasure in feces and defecation. And then you have paraphilia as a recurrence of intense sexual arousing fantasies and sexual urges or behavior generally involving non-human objects. The suffering or humiliation of oneself, self-mutilation, or one's partner, tying up people and whipping them, or children or other non-consenting persons that occurs over a period of 6 months. There's some sick people, coprophilia, a condition of a condition characterized by abnormal sexual desire, typically involving extreme or dangerous activities. This man said, whatever your sexual orientation, what about pansexuals? All right? Pansexuals have the capability of attraction to others regardless of their gender identity or biological sex. A pansexual person could be open to someone who is male, female, transgender, intersex, or a gendered queer. Mm-hmm. All right? And not like bisexuality, it deals with whatever gender. And then bestiality, making love to animals, dogs, cats, and horses, and donkeys. So I just wanted to give you all an idea of what sexual orientation is all about. And it's not the Christian perspective. You know, the Christian perspective on homosexuality is that it is an abomination. All right, so.
Now, I know, Dr. Carter, even before we started talking, I know that I said I was not going to ask you any other questions other than the questions that I sent you. However, our conversation has brought up a couple of other questions. So I would just politely ask you if I could ask you a couple of questions besides the questions that I told you I was going to ask you.
Absolutely. You feel free. Okay. Feel free.
Okay. My first question is, I just want to clear it up for, you know, the listeners. When Bishop Mason started the Church of God in Christ, in his mind, the Church of God in Christ was, for a lack of better words, the Church of God in Christ was an anti-gay religion. Is that a fair statement?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
Just
against gay, you could find us in 1 Corinthians 6 and 9. It covers mm-hmm. all kinds of sins, you know? And so to answer to your question, you cannot be in a Pentecostal holy church that is to be separate and dedicated to God and His Word. You cannot find a genuine holiness church that embraces or affirms homosexuality, you know? But Charles Blake, you know, since he's been in, it's like roaches. They multiply to the point where, oh my goodness, they're everywhere. So Bishop Mason was absolutely against all sins, not just homosexuality. Yeah.
Yes, I should have made that clear, but the only reason I just spoke on homosexuality is because that's the powder keg that got you excommunicated. So I just want to make it very clear to my listeners that this is not your thoughts. You didn't conjure your thoughts up yourself. I grew up in the same church that you preached in. I sat through Sunday school after Sunday school after Sunday school after Good Lord Sunday school, hearing how homosexuality, it wasn't just bad, it was an abomination.
I could remember
hearing how I can remember having teachers tell me that if we engaged in homosexuality, we were going to hell. Now, if somebody thinks that that's right, if somebody thinks that that's wrong, you have the choice to join that church or not join that church.
Right.
But the problem that it seems that I am having, and it seems the problem I'm having with you being excommunicated, was all you did was just preach a sermon off of what you have been taught over the last however many years before this sermon was given.
Right.
So I would just like for you to, if you could just kind of, you know, touch on that and tell us how does it make you feel? I mean, just as a man, how does it make you feel that an institution that you loved to the degree that you love the Church of God in Christ, in a sense, and if anybody from the Church of God in Christ wants to call in and debate this, 888-429-5471. But let me also be clear about something. Before my interview with Dr. Carter today, I tried contacting the Church of God in Christ headquarters, and I was transferred from person to person to person. I called down to Tennessee. I was given a telephone, an 818 telephone number, which is a Los Angeles number, which clearly is because Bishop Blake is out here. I get that. But mm-hmm. I was not able, I did not get a phone call back from anybody. I was not able to get any kind of a straight answer whatsoever. So if anyone from the Church of God in Christ is listening and you don't like what I'm saying and you don't like what Dr. Carter is saying, stop talking to your radio, stop talking to your laptop, pick up the phone, call and join this conversation. But my question to you, Dr. Carter, is how does it make you feel that an institution that you love, and again, I've seen you preach, sir. I know how much you love the Church of God in Christ. How does it make you feel when they, for lack of better words, turn their back on you for just preaching what they teach?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. And the Church of God in Christ, as you stated, that is dear to my heart. And I was ordained, taught, and was ordained. The things that I'm teaching or preaching, I learned all of this in the Church of God in Christ. I was just preaching what they taught me. And for them to betray me like that, I really feel that I've been betrayed and also abandoned. And it doesn't make you feel good at all. Matter of fact, you know, when that's been your livelihood for 46 years, and I'm 67 now, you know, I'm not a spring chicken anymore. And for them to pull the rug from under me like that, you know, it's just not a good feeling. It's not a good feeling at all. So I felt abandoned. I felt betrayed. I felt blackballed, redlined. I felt like those preachers that were cheering me on and giving their amens and all of that, they betrayed me. And a lot of them that I used to preach for down through the years, they abandoned me. So I was like, you know, a John on the Isle of Patmos. <You know? laughs> But God is good. Yes. Yes.
Also, Dr. Carter, in your... I think this is an important question. In your 46 years of doing national and international evangelism for the Church of God in Christ, I don't know if you can count, but maybe you can. Do you know how many messages you gave that were speaking out against homosexuality in the church, which is something else I think I need to clear up? Dr. Carter is speaking about preaching and speaking about homosexuality in the church. So I just want to make sure I get that cleared up. Dr. Carter is not speaking about homosexuality, period. He is speaking about homosexuality in the church and how wrong it is for homosexuality to be in the church. So again, if you're going to call, before you call, please make sure you know what you're talking about. That's all I ask. So,
Absolutely.
Dr. Carter, in the last 46 years, do you know how many messages you have given speaking out against homosexuality in the church?
You know, ironically, I never dwelt on that. I usually deal with all sins. Mm-hmm. And people might think I'm homophobic, but I'm not, because I show love for the homosexual community, especially those that's not in the church. Mm-hmm. But when you're dealing with indigenous, let's say, infiltration of homosexuality and the dominance of homosexuality and, let's say, affirming homosexuality, then in a prophetic posture, somebody had to say something. And I noticed it when my wife and my children went to Charlotte, North Carolina, when my kids was younger, under Bishop G.E. Patterson.
Okay.
Or when Blake became the bishop, one of the two. Anyway, I saw so many until I just couldn't take it. We left the convention early because I didn't want my children to believe that this was the norm. And, of course, I rebuked that spirit within the church because the homosexuality, matter of fact, I never heard of a whoremonger's agenda or manifesto. Mm-hmm. I never heard of a whoremonger having an organized front or an organization to say that we are normal. I never heard of a liars convention. I never heard of liars coming together with a manifesto that we will lie as long as we live. We're going to continue to lie. And I just never heard of fornicators who come together and say, we're going to fornicate. We're never going to get married. We don't believe in marriage. We're going to keep fooling around. I just never heard of that. But somehow the homosexual community can have a manifesto. They can have an agenda. And they seem to get a pass. And look like when you say something about homosexuality, you'd be surprised how many churches now are homosexual affirming. You know, it used to be, you know, the Protestant movement was a pure movement. They believe in preaching against sin and whatever. But now, I mean, I have a neighbor across the street, his church, a Lutheran church. When he heard my message, I asked him, what did he think about it? He said, well, you know, we have a homosexual community within our church. We said, we believe a little different. And now I'm finding out that the Pentecostal apostolic churches, they now are affirming homosexuality. It's just something that I never thought would happen. And when you go to West Angeles, that church was built on homosexuality. And even the colors behind the pulpit is the rainbow colors. And he embraces or affirms homosexuality. Because look at Magic Johnson. Because he got a lot of money, his son gets a pass. Now, Blake can rebuke me, but how come he can't rebuke Magic Johnson and his son for homosexuality? Well, Magic has big money. And so the Church of God in Christ is in a apostate posture. That is, they don't believe what they used to believe. Mm-hmm. And my preaching agenda is to bring us back to orthodoxy, and that's the original faith. And then orthopraxy, that is the right worship and witnessing. And then orthopathy, the right affection for God and the right affection for one another. And so that's my agenda. And so it's reformational, really. It is.
Okay. So let me play devil's advocate here, Dr. Carter, if you don't mind, sir.
All right.
Let me just ask you one question that I'm sure is a burning question. What do you say to people that say a homosexual person is born homosexual? It's not a choice. Just like a person is born heterosexual, a person is born homosexual. What do you say to that?
Well, I did address that. You know, David said, and not just homosexual, not just homosexuals. David said in Psalm 51, he said, I was born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Mm-hmm. So it's just not unique. For homosexuals, you have a choice. We all was born in sin and shaping in iniquity. And watch this now. The man that was blind from his mother's womb, all right, he was born that way. All right, he was born blind. And we all were born blind. That is your thalamus is it's not open, the third eye. So you can say you were born that way. And I could say, you know, I was born to rob people. I was born to be a recidivist in and out of jail. I can go before the judge and tell the judge I was born this way. And the judge would tell me, you're going to jail this way, too.
So, okay.
So, you know, I believe we all have a choice. You can't say I was born, you know, to continue to sin. That's why you need to be born again. I know people have said that so many times, but it's profound. That's why we need to be born again. You need that anakinosis, that change. And the tadpole can say, I was born this way, so I cannot jump. Or the butterfly, let's say the worm, the caterpillar that turns into a worm, he could just say, well, I was born a worm. Or the tadpole can say, I was born a tadpole, I can't jump. I preach the message, tadpoles can't jump and worms can't fly. That's my answer to homosexuality, who say that they were born that way. So I say you need to be born again. That's right.
What do you think, Dr. Carter, if Bishop Charles Mason were to have attended this year's national convention, what do you think he would say on the state of the Church of God in Christ?
I would say, he would say the church need to be rebuked, and he would lock all the doors and put us on our knees and won't let us out until some repentance occurs. I believe this man, he stood for, never had a scandal. I mean, the man was anointed, and God used him to be the prophet of our time. And, you know, somebody said, well, why is it that unholy men be around holiness and not be holy? Well, if you read the life of Jehazi, who was an assistant of Elisha, Elisha was a holy man, but Jehazi was an unholy man. He opted to go after the reward that Elisha refused from Naaman. So he was about money and opportunity to get what he wanted, but he lost what he needed, and he became a leper. So I'm saying Bishop Mason would put everybody on their knees. You know, back in the day, his day, they used to, well, they call it tarrying. That is waiting before God to be filled with the Spirit. And I think he would do the same thing today. And that's what's missing in the church. I never heard the church calling for fasting and praying like they used to, you know. And that's why the church is in a recidivistic and it's in the apostate, I would even say reprobation. Because we have fallen away from God. We don't believe what we used to. Well, they don't believe what Bishop Mason taught. And so under this man's leadership, the church has become, let's say the word is dangerous. And my mother-in-law said, go to church at your own risk. And I tell you, it's something else. And the Greek word is klepto. That is that hinders and impede your growth and your progress in God. So the church is recidivistic and preaching that innocuous preaching like Joel Osteen, a non-threatening, non-corrective, all right, let's say a motivational message. God wants you rich. God wants you to have a Rolls Royce. But here Jesus comes riding in Jerusalem, riding on a donkey. The iconoclasm of Jesus Christ versus the iconoclasm of other preachers who are money hungry, destroying the image and the veneration of a religious movement.
Yeah, that's what my next question to you was. Yeah. Do you think that the church, I mean, we can spread it out and talk about all religions, but we're just talking about the Church of God in Christ right now. Do you think the Church of God in Christ has become big business?
Yes, I think it's under this man's leadership, it's all about running the church like a corporation. And there's no spirituality at all. And when I preached the message, the wicked struts, when the vilest of men, everybody can put this scripture down, Psalms 12 and 8, it says the wicked struts, and that is Asa Gear, no shame and no, not even blush. They just boldly walk around when the vilest of men are promoted or they're in a position of leadership. My message about the theology of the limp is this, that when the priests, when they're limping, the people are going to limp. And that is to make an excuse for your sins, you know, that you can't walk straight. Like, you know, Jacob can be a recipient of the blessing or the ministry, but he can't be in the ministry because he had a limp. According to Leviticus 19, yeah, you can't have a limp. You can't have no blemish, no permanent weakness. And we need people, priests, that would be tupas. That word tupas means a modeling example. You got to model for the people. And we got preachers who, you know, they get caught in all kind of scandals. They running with the women, running down the street with the money. I was in Africa, and we saw four ostriches running in front of our safari truck. And I said, that's the leadership of the church. That is running with the money. You know, I mean, it's just terrible. Yeah, really
well,
terrible.
To close this, and I have a little something I want to say at the end, but to close this, Dr. Carter, I will first say thank you very kindly once again for joining me. But I just would like to know, where is Dr. Carter now in life? What are you doing now in life, and how can my listeners support, follow, and listen to you?
Well, you know, I'm pastoring in Orlando, Florida, at the Crystal Ballroom. That's 7065 West Point Boulevard, Orlando, Florida, 32835. Or they can go to my, let's say, earlcarterministry.com, and they can go to the PayPal system and make a donation, earlcarterministry.com. And I'm going to be writing my book pretty soon, and it's going to be very interesting, you know. So if they want to be a blessing, plant a seed, they can go to earlcarterministry.com and scroll down to the PayPal and make a donation. We really appreciate it.
And any after the interview is over, my station manager is going to get with you really quickly, and he's just basically going to let you know anything that you want to put on my page, I will definitely put on, as well as, I mean, along with our interview, any links, anything that you want me to put on my page, just make sure my station manager gets it, and we will definitely put it up on the page.
Oh, I appreciate that so much. Appreciate that so much. Thank you for having me, and tell your station manager, thank him for that, you know, let's say that kindness that he's showing toward me. I really appreciate it. And
thank you.
And I also want to say you guys are bold. You all are y'all have a lot of courage, right?
So. I mean, it's really just all about, you know, in my opinion, Dr. Carter, it's just all about telling the truth, doing the right thing, which kind of leads me into, you know, what I was going to say.
All right.
People can have whatever views you want to. That's the wonderful thing that makes us all individuals. But in my opinion, when you start an organization a certain way, you know, I don't want to speak out of turn so much, but I have to say, church is one of those things that I believe doesn't need to change with the times. I believe church, church is church. You can't, in my opinion, you can't say, well, we live in this time now and we need to be more accepting. Am I saying that I am not accepting of anyone in the homosexual community? Absolutely not. I have friends. I have close friends. I have good friends. I have confidants. I have people that I work with on a daily basis. I have people that I ask for advice, some of them on a daily basis, that may be a part of the homosexual community. So I don't want to hear anybody say J. Lewis Mills has a problem with anyone in the homosexual community, because I don't. But if you are an organization like the Church of God in Christ that speaks so strongly against something for so many years, from its induction up until, you know, the recent past, you can speak against something, and then all of a sudden now we're affirming. All of a sudden it's okay.
Right.
Okay, so what about all of those people that tried coming to your church before and you turned them away? What
right.
about all of those people that wanted to come to your church but just knew they weren't right, because they knew that in the way of the teaching, again, you don't have to believe in, you don't have to listen to what the Church of God in Christ says. There's no law out there that says anyone right. has to believe in and or listen to what the Church of God in Christ, Catholicism, any religion has to say. But
right.
people join religions, different religions, for reasons. And there
right.
are people that join the Church of God in Christ because of the stance that is taken against
Absolutely.
Homosexuality in the church. So what are you to say to those members who just say, you know, I'm too old to change. I'm too old. I've learned this. I've been in the Church of God in Christ ever since I was 2-3 years old. I'm in my 80s now. I'm too old to change. What do you say to
right.
that person that they're wrong? And if they're wrong, then are you saying Bishop Mason is wrong? And if you're saying
right.
Bishop Mason is wrong, how are you saying Bishop Mason is wrong? Because he's the one that started the religion in the first place.
Right.
So how
well, you
can
know,
it be said yeah. that he's wrong?
Right. Well, you know, God said, I'm the same and I change not. So the church should not be adaptable. I said the other day at my service that the church now has, like Pergamos in the book of Revelation, they had high standards but low living. And they adapt to the religion of the state. In other words, the Pergamos church had a adaptable personality.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a church that is compromising. And I say that pastors like Bishop Nimrod, who's pastoring a Babylonian church with a Walmart marketing system that cut the price, to keep the people coming. So the church now, like Pergamos, has an adaptable personality. And it comes from the preachers, the leaders who are modernists, and that is the contemporary preachers who have infiltrated the church and have wormed themselves to the top. And that's the program of Satan, is to get into the church and get to the leadership of the church and then change the church from the top. Because if the head is not right, then the body's not going to be right. So that's why people like Charles Blake got to go. And I hope they get him out of there, because he's a modernist and he's contemporary, and his church represents an adaptable, homosexual-affirming church. So I'm like you. I'm glad you brought it up. If you're going to be the church, which is the ecclesia, that is you, the called out ones. Mm-hmm. You can't be amphibious, one foot in the church and the other in the world. Come on. The old folks, they get your footsies out of one thing into another. Yeah. So.
Okay, I was actually going to end, but I just got a Facebook question that I wonder if you wouldn't mind answering.
No, I don't mind.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say the person's name or not, but the question is, what does this preacher have to say if someone were to say the thought patterns of slavery should have never changed? Black people should have never been accepted in the United States, because that's how it was in the beginning, right? Wow.
Well,
okay, that's
yeah.
the question.
Well, here's the answer to that. Now, we want to be in the context of church and what is morally right. And, of course, my book I'm going to send you is going to deal with slavery. But you cannot be relative like that. You have to be an absolute. You cannot say that slavery was absolutely the, I would say, ideal situation. It was real, but not the ideal. So we're dealing with what is normal and what is right sexually, morally. All right? Slavery, you got some situations that has to be understood why slavery really took place. And I just want to throw this at you. The Egyptians were the black people on the continent of Africa, and they were black, and they were the first slave masters. They enslaved Israel 430 years, and God told Abraham, he saw his people in slavery 400 years in the book of Genesis 15. And God said that nation that judged, or let's say enslaved, the Israelites, God was going to judge them. So that's a whole different story right there. But you cannot be relative and say, well, you know, slavery was accepted, and now you want to use that to accept homosexuality. No, you can't do that.
Well, there's your answer, Mr. Williams. I hope that is pleasing for you, because it definitely makes sense to me. Well, we are over time. I am so sorry, but we have to cut this short. But I have to say, there's a lot more we can talk about, Dr. Carter. So
yes,
I would
sir.
Like to extend another invitation to you to come back. Maybe the next time we talk, we can actually do it in front of a camera instead of just on the airwaves.
I would like
but
that.
I would love
I would like
to have
that.
You back.
Yeah, I would love to do that. I would love to come to L.A. and let's do it on the camera. That's right. Matter of fact, I think God is going to touch the hearts of you and your station manager. We can make that happen. because this book that I have, No Apology Necessary, is going to shake up the whole world. I know it is. And it's the kairos, the season for it, to bring reconciliation, real reconciliation of the races, you know. And the world is ready for it. That's right.
I signed a one-year contract to do my show. So if your book comes out from June 7, 2017 to June 7, 2018, you already have an invitation to come on and talk about it.
Yeah, well, I have the book. It's already written.
Okay.
And I'm ready. I'm ready. You let me know. And I need to do it on camera. Absolutely. And you would be the perfect person to interview me. That's right.
Okay, well, we can definitely.
Perfect person.
I've got your email. You have my email, and we will definitely get that done.
All right, sir. All right. Well, God bless you, and thank you.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, doctor.
No, I'm listening. Yeah.
Okay, I was just going to. I was just going to close the show. So, do you have any closing words?
Well, I just want to say that God is the judge, and He's given us His word. And He's sovereign, existential. He makes His own decision, independent of anybody's opinion. And thank God for His sovereign power. All right. God bless you.
I thank you very kindly. And all I would like to say in closing is you do not have to agree. All you need to do is understand where my guests are coming from when they come on and explain their side of the story. You don't need to agree with them, but just understand where they are coming from. All I ask is you just open it up, have a conversation, stop arguing with each other, start yelling, and just start listening. This is J. Lewis Mills for On the Level with J. Lewis Mills. Look forward to seeing you and being with you next week. We are out. Are you inspired? Can I inspire you more? Come join me every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. on Station 2 here at BBS Radio. Let's get inspired together. Come join me. You'll be glad you did.